America's culture becomes even more hostile to people of faith, and especially to those Christian or Jewish. Judeo-Christian ethics and morals and beliefs, once the very fabric of America itself, are under constant and often vicious attack. Don't you agree? Abortion, the killing of living human beings, babies, not fetuses, is everywhere. The gay agenda, termed as unnatural and non-biological by the Torah, the Old Testament, and of course the New Testament, it's everywhere, and it's growing in strength. Gay marriage, men marrying men and women marrying women, has destroyed the once sacred definition of marriage between one man and one woman. This hostile culture has perverted freedom into license, so that now in America, virtually anything goes. Anything goes. And blasphemy abounds. Blasphemy. There is little verbal respect for the God of the universe and the Judeo-Christian religions and principles. The precious name of Jesus Christ is taken in vain more than with love and respect. Any sense of the holy or sacred is tarnished, and so often disrespected with impunity. One never knows when watching television, or a movie, or even in the workplace for that matter, when blasphemy, and of course indecency, will erupt. Children learn early foul language never used or heard some decades ago. Many suggest that Christians withdraw, retreat from this ever-increasing hostile culture. Come ye apart and be ye separate, say some, and so says the Scripture. Live and act. Again, as the Scripture states, as a people set apart. Author Rod Dreher, who wrote the highly anticipated book The Benedict Option, argues that the church should, quote, embrace exile from mainstream culture and construct a resilient counterculture. Let me read that again. Embrace exile. Leave from mainstream culture and construct a resilient counterculture. Okay, that's one point of view. So that the artistic, the cultural, as part of a Christian lifestyle, becomes refined, changed, perhaps born again, purified of the immorality and indecency so prevalent in our secular culture. Art removes the pornographic. Radio and television become wholesome, perhaps even Christian-based, as our company is. The theater, both plays and movies, come to us with a moral cleansing. That sounds good, doesn't it? And perhaps most importantly, education, once again, stresses, teaches values and morals and returns to the Judeo-Christian standards upon which this country was built. Doesn't that sound good to you? They, the secularists, go their way, and we, the people of faith, go ours. Separate, but equal, so to speak. We do not support or finance theirs, whatever they do, and they do the very same for us. They don't support what we do either. Separate but equal. Counteracting. Challenging. Offering moral alternatives. A true and real separation. So says author Dreher. But you know, that sounds good, but that is a difficult lifestyle to live. People of faith, and Christians in particular, constantly engage in the secular culture. I do, don't you? We watch our favorite television and cable shows, putting up with occasional immorality or blasphemy or an attack on Christianity and go, you know, that's just the way things are. We pay for and we watch current movies, and we tolerate the morality or the lack thereof. It is commonplace to be entertained on the Sabbath, especially with sports, and we allow that to happen. In fact, we participate. We go or we watch. It seems as though the standards of old that were basic to theatrical production no longer apply. But it is wonderful to watch great movies, is it not? For me, one of the greatest I have ever seen is Amadeus, the story of the genius, the life of Mozart. Brilliant music, so well depicted on the screen. I remember The Old Sound of Music. Oh, I love that one. And Camelot. Love that one, too. Wonderful entertainment experiences, and so many more. I remember, well, the clean comedy of old, The Three Stooges. Do you remember them? Red Skelton, Milton Berle, and so many other comics who gave us clean comedy without indecency or swearing. No dirty jokes, either. Return to that. recreated, and separated from the secular culture, so say those who wish Christians and Jews to be people set apart. Mr. Dreher and the Benedict option do indeed present an interesting lifestyle alternative. His words again, embrace exile. Embrace exile from mainstream culture and construct a resilient counterculture. What do you think? What do you think? Does that make sense to you? And then comes the opposite. On the other hand, Scripture admonishes us as Christians to be salt and light. Salt and light. I wonder if there's a contradiction there between salt and light and set apart. We should be salt and light, says the Scripture, to the culture. We should, as people of faith, engage the culture in order to transform it. Writer Eric Metaxas notes well that such an approach is not easy work, but he states that engaging the secular culture is extremely valuable and it's worthwhile. But such engagement, he says, requires thoughtful engagement, thoughtful. We should engage instead of attacking the secular culture with Christian blanket condemnation. That doesn't work, Metaxas says. In so doing, it may call for us to broaden our understanding and deal with ideas that seem unfamiliar and uncomfortable. If we do that is, thoughtful engagement, such efforts can produce what he calls generative results. That can generate new ideas, new thought processes, and effectuate a better understanding of what is of real value in our culture. How does that sound to you? Such engagement can indeed be life-giving, generative, perhaps a certain kind of cultural born-again experience. I'm for that. There are millions, tens of millions of Christians who enjoy and support the art and culture, even to the point of making it a priority in their lives. I think that's great. I am one who supports and enjoys the culture. Having devoted my life to communications primarily through the wonderful medium of radio, I am for salt and light. Are you? In our company, we write and produce. We form programming. We talk to the culture politically and artistically. We support it and we criticize it. And of course, we do so spiritually. We challenge the culture spiritually, and we do so with the best Christ-honoring music we can find and the teachings of those anointed to preach and communicate truth. We stage events and concerts and support great artistic productions which honor the seasons, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and those which respectfully honor America, like July 4, Freedom Day, Labor Day, Memorial Day, and so many others. We think, as Metaxas does, that it would be a mistake to withdraw from the culture and to simply not engage it. We want to participate in the culture, to help it create and to recreate and to nurture, morally nurture what is produced. We want PG-friendly movies, television that is moral and without immoral nuances. In short, we want to support good art in every way we can. If Christians withdraw, and if Christians disengage, and do not take up the challenge to be salt and light to the culture, we leave the cultural battlefield to the secularists. I'm not willing to do that. Are you? And then writer Metaxas asks the questions, when was the last time you participated in a boycott? Repeat, when was the last time you participated in a boycott? And another question, or shared a Facebook post alerting your friends to a dangerous cultural trend. Have you done that? Have you boycotted a pornographic movie? Or perhaps Starbucks, where Chairman Schultz comes out against conservatives and Christians and tells them he doesn't want their business? Have you boycotted Starbucks? Or again, shared a Facebook post. Facebook is everywhere and everybody's on it. Have you done that, alerting your friends to a dangerous cultural trend? Interesting questions and challenges. If you are intent on disengaging, then inform and warn others and be involved to protect and defend a moral, even Christian culture. But then on the other hand, Metaxas asks, when was the last time you went to an art museum? Have you ever gone to one? Or, he asks again, or bought tickets to the theater? Have you? Boy, I have. I've done both. Or listened to a great piece of music? I try to do that every day. How about you? Or wrote a poem? Now, there's a good one. Wrote a poem and shared it with friends. Have you ever done that? I love to do that. It's fun. Poetry takes on so many different styles and ways to communicate. You can do it your own way. You can be a poet. Do you do it? In short, Metaxas asks, when was the last time you participated in the culture, rather than simply criticizing or complaining about it? Great, great questions and challenges. For we live in this world. We are entitled to the best fruits of this world as Christians. So says our Bible. So why withdraw? Why disengage? Why not be active and change it and confront it when necessary, but see our culture as an opportunity and support it when it's right? Be part of it when it's good. See our culture as a resource and not a battleground. To do so, says Metaxas, is not to sacrifice our convictions or beliefs by any means. Don't do that. And in fact, stand by them. In short, perhaps we can and we should do both. Confront and participate. Disengage, critique, and be separate from, but as well, engage, create, and nurture the culture. That really makes good sense to me. We can both become a people set apart and be salt and light to the secular culture both at the same time. Why not? In short, we should play a major role in cultural leadership. We can, as Christians and people of faith, employ empathy, memory, warning, guidance, mediation, and reconciliation. We can do all of that so that people of faith do not simply read novels and biographies, but write them. Have you ever written a short story, a poem, or a book? We do not simply read poetry, but we become poetic authors ourselves. You can do that. We can write plays and movie scripts. Can you? Maybe you can. Why don't you try? And television shows. We can do that. And we can contribute our hearts and minds to radio. I hope you do. That's my passion. We influence and reconstruct the talk of the day. We create our very own generative moments. We make things happen. Where we as people of faith provide the leadership, why can't we lead the culture, the moral leadership which our culture requires? Why can't we give the culture that? We should reach out and reconcile and re-energize all those in the arts without reflexively pushing them away. I love dialogue with secularists and atheists. I love it. Do you? But again, Metaxas says, we should never sacrifice or compromise, never. We should stand up when culture is threatened, especially politically or morally. When marriage is threatened, we resist. When gender identity replaces men or women for bathroom usage, we should resist. When there is every aggressive, even vicious attempt to excise God and religion from the marketplace, we should resist. And when faith is mocked in the arts, and it so often is, we must resist. We must take a stand. But there are far more opportunities to cooperate and support and contribute and even provide leadership. We can and we should invest in cultural works. Have you ever invested in anything of culture, of art, anything at all? We should support good theater by buying tickets. We should support fine art by purchasing paintings. Have you ever purchased a painting that you really love and consequently supported the arts? And we should support the work of authors who write cultural classics. No matter the size of the investment, we encourage the good in culture when we invest in that good. You know, it really is a fine balance, both engaging and disengaging. By the way, how do you set your own standards? Do you have moral criteria by which you judge how you and your family participate in the arts? I'm sure you do, but have you ever really defined it? It really is a fine balance. And by the way, have you defined it so that your family knows where you stand? Both protecting Christian culture on the one hand by living as a people set apart, and at the same time being salt and light to a deeply secular, even anti-Christian culture. I love that challenge. I hope you do too. So, again, Metaxas says, with which I agree, do both. Do both. We should protest and boycott, and otherwise challenge the pornographic. But on the other hand, we should look at every turn for that so-called Genesis moment. The Genesis moment, I love that. So that we can learn to nurture and care for our culture and those who create it. After all, what would life be without great paintings, without magnificent art? Doesn't that speak to you? Or the sound of music, wonderful music. Life would be so barren without music. Or learned discourse and dialogue, learned discourse and dialogue. Not argumentation, and wholesome television and radio, constructive, rehabilitative television and radio, all of the artistic, the good, really quality, moral, artistic side of mankind at work. It is really in so many ways the stuff of life. Enjoy it all, for as Paul says, all things are lawful. All things may not be expedient and beneficial, but they're lawful. So get on with it and enjoy it all, for as the Gospels say of our Lord, I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So have as much of life as you possibly can and have it abundantly, my Christian friend and person of faith. Live and enjoy the abundant life. Culture at its best is the key ingredient, the fundamental resource of that abundant life. Again, enjoy it as much as you can. Life is so short. But at the same time, create and recreate it, and bring our culture constantly toward a renewed appreciation of goodness, truth, and beauty. You can do that.